This morning, sermon title is this: True Peace and Safety. True Peace and Safety. And we're taking those words we find in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 3 for our consideration this morning. Now my first heading is this: The end of the world is coming. The end of the world is coming. Dear friends, it most certainly is. And when the Bible speaks of the day of the Lord, the day of Christ, that is the day that it is referring to. The end of all things. When with a loud noise and with fervent heat, this world will be dissolved, and all evil purged out of it, and from it will emerge there the new heavens and the new earth, the home of righteousness. Well, what a day that is. And we should not devalue the thought of it because of all the false prophecies about the end of the world that are in circulation. At the end of last year finished very successfully without the Mayan prophecy of what would happen December the 21st, 2012 being realized. Yes, some were waiting for alien spaceships to emerge out of a mountain in France. Well, I hope they had a nice time down there in France. Very nice, I'm sure, but if they're looking for alien spaceships, they were disappointed. Others were saying that somewhere in China, the Lord Jesus Christ had appeared as some peasant farmer. There's a cult out there that is expecting this to happen, and the rumors were running rife that the very thing had taken place. People were stockpiling food. I don't know what they're hoping to do with it. Imagine now they're chomping their way through quite a few tins of this and that and ruining maybe their expectation and the way they were carried away. Films were made, 2012. What was going to happen there? Great earthquakes, volcanoes, all kinds of things. And the governments of the world being saved in vessels that were going to float on the water. My word, what things there were. But none of it happened. Here we are today, and we're still pressing on. And the world looks today much as it looked like yesterday in that sense, and we can see the same laws governing gravity, governing the weather that we had yesterday, last year, and the year before that. Ah, but still, there is conversation. Will the sun burn out? Experts say give it a few million years and maybe it will. Will a comet come? Well, this is often talked about. People out there surveying what debris there is floating around in outer space spot a comet every now and then and look a little bit worried about it and think maybe this is the one that's going to hit us. Well, we're still here. All great earthquakes that are going to be unleashed and take the whole thing down. But friends, we're warned against such things. Paul, talking to this church, modern-day Greece, saying, concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, he says in verse 1, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. It is not going to be the great conversation piece on the internet. It isn't as if the whole world out there will just be waiting for it to come. It's going to be like a thief in the night. Nobody, at least those who are out in the world, nobody is going to foresee it or expect it. I think we've said before that, you know, if you know a thief is going to come and break into your house, well, you don't leave the front door open, leave a flask of coffee there and some sandwiches just to cheer him up or something like that, and away you're bolting the door. You're up all night there holding a poker. I don't know if you're allowed to do that these days, but there you are. You're not just going to welcome them in, leave a window open or the front door. No, we are warned against this. And yet, the church indulges in it. Why, these who should know best of all are indulging in it. We don't know the day or the hour, we're told. And yet, there have been some famous cases of people giving their opinion right down to the day when they expect Christ's return to be. End-time revivals. Have there been any number of these? You could go to most cities in America, and they've had the beginnings of an end-time revival. They've been happening for 40, 50 and more years than that even. Still, we are here. Others warn us, join up with them now. These are the great apostles and prophets. If you're not with them, you're not going to be there. Well, I don't advise any to join up with them. Great deceivers, the most of them are. So the church indulges in it too, setting times and seasons and coming up with definite ideas. But still, don't discredit the coming day of Christ. Don't let false prophecies in the world out there, or false prophecies in the church, bring a diminishing of this great, great day. It is coming. It is approaching. We are nearer to it now than when we first believed. The day is coming. It will end marvellously for believers. Oh, it will end marvellously. We should not be afraid of it. Lift up your heads, your redemption draws nigh. It is a great, great event. And it's one event. It's not to be sort of prized apart, I don't believe, as if Christ comes once and then comes again a few more times after that. It's one great event. It's the day of the Lord, not days of the Lord. And there he is going to come, as he went in the clouds on that ascension day when the disciples watched him, those men of Galilee, gazing up as he was taken into the clouds from them. And they were told by the angels that as you have seen him go, so he will return. We're told he's going to come on the clouds. What a wonderful sight it will be. And he's going to come with thousands upon thousands of his saints, all who have died in Christ, fallen asleep in him. They will be raised, one great event. There he will come then, bring to this earth all glory that it should have had, everything that had been taken away by sin, and more besides. What an event that will be. It's unalterable. The date of it is fixed. Not for us to know the times and the seasons any more. When the disciples there wondering what's going to happen to Israel, are you going to restore the kingdom there? Not for you to know the things that my Father has set by his own authority. But it is coming. There is no change in the destination, no change in the day. And we should look forward to it. Oh, does not the Lord Jesus Christ have many memorable days to reflect upon? His birth, the day he came into this world as a human being, as well as being the Son of God. That was a day, a great day. And then the day that he died upon the cross. That was a day of Christ, wasn't it? Unlike any other day. A day indeed for solemn reflection. A day in which, as he died upon the cross, darkness covered the land. And he was blotted out from his Father's love. The communion and fellowship that he enjoyed over the years. No, that was there denied him as he became a sin offering and bore our sins. But then, the day of his resurrection, when he came gloriously forth from the tomb, needing not some doctor to revive him, not needing there some kind of particular medicine to bring him back to life again, but by his own power and authority, raised by the eternal Spirit. So it was fitting for the Son of God to stride forth from the tomb and be seen by all the witnesses that saw him. I mentioned his ascension. There is another great day of Christ, as he was taken up from before those disciples, taken them outside of Jerusalem, and there lifted up from before them, having given them those instructions over those days that he was with them. What a day! 40 days of teaching and then taken away from them. But then another great day, in a sense, a day of Christ, when on Pentecost the Spirit of Christ was outpoured. And his glory then was seen by virtue of the fact that these great signs and events were taking place to prove his coronation and to send the apostles forth, and therefore the apostolic church, to preach him. And others who will listen and hear, and in their own tongues, in their own languages now, will hear the wonderful works of God. What days those were. Days of the historic Christ, days of the present Christ, who rules and reigns on high. who brings his church together, who brings us around his word, who bids us come around his table to break bread and share in the cup. He who communes with us, blesses us, and fills our hearts with joy and love, who binds us to himself, opens up the heavens, as it were, and speaks forth his word to us and comforts. But then, the future Christ. Oh, he'll be with us, each of us there. If we must die before this day takes place, he'll be with us. Even till you draw your last breath, he'll be with you. Emmanuel, God with us. And that promise applies throughout the life of the believer. Then, this great day, another memorable day, the day of Christ, the day of his return. Soon, I am coming soon, he said. Don't diminish that. Don't be as those reported in 2 Peter chapter 3. Well, we've heard of this. Where is this coming, they say? We've gone on the same way since the fathers, the world, just as it has always been. They forget the flood, don't they? And they forget the judgment. And how the world then was flooded. And this that they dismissed took place. And another day is going to come, and not a flood of water. Fire is going to come. Purifying fire. Recreative fire. Christ presiding over this. Every knee bowing to him. Now don't discredit the fact of Christ's return. Do not allow these false prophecies and the errors of the church to take this great day away from you. It doesn't give us permission to grow slack. There it is, isn't it? This is the danger, and who has always been. People just grow slack, and they think, well, I don't think it's going to happen in my lifetime. You don't know, and I don't know. And even if it doesn't, you've got to be ready for this day, that when God may call you into his presence through death, that you are able to stand before him blameless and at peace with him. Oh, we're going to be people of the day. The apostle says, doesn't he, that those who sleep and those who get drunk do these things at night. They are creatures of darkness. But we're not. We're sons of light, sons of the day, as believers. So, the end of the world is coming. And I want you to say, therefore, rejoice always. Rejoice in hope. Got that helmet of the hope of salvation on our heads firmly fixed. And this day there is all part of that. We're going to be saved from all our sin, these sick bodies, all that is evil within us, the old nature, the old man, will be gone forever. Think of it and rejoice. Now my second heading is this. It's a question. Who are they? Who are they? The they is in verse 3. But when they say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them, and they shall not escape. Who are they? Who is the them of this, and the they of this? Well, these are distinct from the people that Paul is writing to. These don't belong to the church. They are a different category, a different group of people. Who are they then? Well, they are non-Christians. They are of the world. Unregenerate, unspiritual people. This is saying what they are saying. Their kind of attitude, their kind of approach to things. People who have not the Spirit of God. People who open a Bible, many of them, and yet they get the most strange things out of it. Or they don't see what is the plain teaching of it. Go veering off in all kinds of directions. Or people who never open the Bible. Never even think about it. Visiting friends around the community yesterday. Often the question to ask you, do you have a Bible? And if they say yes, the next question is the obvious one. Do you read the Bible? Or perhaps that's not so comfortable a question to ask. No. People of the world, who do not see value in the things that we treasure and esteem highly. What a tragedy that this is. And Paul here draws a comparison with them, between them and the church. Between our way of living, our way of thinking, our approach to things as sons of the day, and their approach to things as sons of the night, sons of darkness, and the things that they are more likely to be doing. And they, despite the fact that they are unregenerate, despite the fact they haven't got the Spirit of God, nevertheless have a lot to say. They do, they have a lot to say about things. They're not quiet. And they give all kinds of views on all kinds of issues. And so here they are, summing up what their attitude is. Peace and safety, they say. We'll just develop that in a moment. But you watch what's taking place out in the world, and there are any number of opinions about the beginning of the world and the end of the world. Just noted some of them earlier. And, well, it wouldn't surprise you to know, Professor Richard Dawkins, who really should learn to keep his mouth shut, still opens it very wide, and he had a debate at the Cambridge Union, I think it was the Cambridge Union in the week, and the motion was that religion has no place in the 21st century. Get rid of it. Well, the motion actually wasn't carried, despite Professor Dawkins speaking, I'm sure, passionately, that it has no place, and the editorial in the newspaper said that, you know, he said, well, we don't need it now. We've got explanations for the origin of life. We've got explanations for the purpose of life. But he was not listened to. I'm glad to say that. But there it is. I doubt that he changes his mind. I doubt that he has gone away from that and thought, well, perhaps I need to just think this through a bit more carefully. Any more than any others have. Christopher Hitchens, another of these vocal atheists, died unchanged, didn't alter course, and somehow still cling to some hope that all was finished with his death, and there was nothing further to come, no judgment, nothing to fear, no particular thing to have to await after he died. Origins. People have their own views about where we came from. And I saw the other week, the oldest star in the universe they claimed to have found, and looking out there through some telescope or other and picking it out from somewhere and identifying that. Well, they say, that's telling us something about us. Well, the purpose of life. Here we are, just to survive. Selfish genes that just want to continue expressing themselves and battering all before them in order to reproduce. Not interesting that, is it? Well, what is man made of? We read here at the end in Paul's blessing that the soul, spirit, soul and body. But soul, that is very much a disputed category. Body, yes, we'll have that, but the soul, well, no, that's a fiction of our own imaginations, wherever our imaginations came from. But anyway, we managed to conjure up a soul. They won't have that. No, we're not. We're just creatures. And the end of life, well, is the end of life. Nothing further. Nothing to think about, nothing to worry about. And so I developed that further in my third heading. The world's search for peace and safety. The world's search for it. And somehow, despite these very materialistic explanations for who we are, where we've come from, where we're going, there's nevertheless some search for peace and safety. Even the evolutionists try to offer us something there and comfort us with their worldview. And they call themselves brights, some of them, don't they? Brights. Be happy. Be cheerful in all of this. Peace and safety to you all. And think that we'll be fooled by that. People look for economic peace and safety. Well, the stock market's absolutely booming. People are wondering, well, will this last? Is this just a fool's paradise? We'll wait and see. But there it is. They're feeling comfortable with things, peace and safety. They're looking to the UN, European Union, or some other groups of nations to solve the world's problems. Mali, let's call in the West African army, join up there with the French army, and we'll sort out these Islamists. Peace, safety, that's the hope. Great fears, well, advisors and gurus come forth to try to show us the way ahead politically and economically and bring their opinions. Or health, peace and safety for your health. We will offer to you all the right remedies for all your health problems. Find them on the internet or they're sold over the counter in the chemist. Here's the remedy. This is proven. Dr. So-and-so, somebody or other here who's tried this out, and this worked, or at least it worked on 6 out of 10 people, perhaps. Too bad if you're the 4 out of the 10 on whom it doesn't work. What to eat? What not to eat? How to eat? Eat too much, eat too little. Peace and safety. Or then, personal peace and safety. Something for you. Comfort within. You'll be able, perhaps, to meditate and just to allow the worries to be soothed away and dream of nice places, and this will offer to you insurance against the knocks of life and the troubles that may come in the afterlife, free from anxieties. Now, I saw the other day, we apparently, whoever the we is in this case, but spend 744 hours a year worrying. 744 hours a year worrying. Now, I don't know how they measure that, but they did somehow and came up with that figure. Peace and safety, let's come alongside you. At least get it down to, say, 743 hours, or reduce it somewhere or other. Take away your burden of anxiety. Program some particular help that we will give. Oprah Winfrey in the United States, as a sort of life class lessons, and calls in all these wise heads there to give their opinions and to offer their thoughts. Well wishing for everybody. But ultimately, where it really counts, in terms of the soul and the afterlife, utterly useless. Utterly useless. And they'll prove to have been but dreams. Dreams that maybe don't even last in this life, but will be certainly punctured at that moment of death, the day of the Lord, when we are called into his presence, or he brings us forth there on that great day of his personal, visible return. Well, where will our anxieties be then? They'll be heightened. Where will our worries have gone? Will it be more than 744 hours in the year we'll be worrying? There'll be consternation. There'll be grief, there'll be shame. And it will come and none will escape, just as there the pregnant woman, a day comes, suddenly she goes into labour. Can't necessarily predict it, expected due date of birth. Well, that's often wrong, and suddenly it's happening. It's irreversible from that place. Unpredictable, unexpected for the world out there. They're looking in the wrong places, hoping for this. Bit of safety, this bit of peace, some inner harmony, some outer harmony, the economics and the political situation of the world solved, health, living forever now. All of it comes to naught, all in dust and ashes. Peace and safety, they were saying. But they were looking all the time in the wrong direction. Are you? Are you looking in the wrong direction? Are you surveying the horizon, hoping for some great thing to happen, event out there, or something within your own soul that will give you peace and harmony and declare to you peace and safety? Oh, dear friend, you're looking in the wrong direction, looking in the wrong place. You're seeking something that God has not offered you other than through himself and through his Son. So let us move quickly to that, my fourth heading, true peace and safety. True peace and safety. And here it is, the very one who is coming, whose day we await. He offers to you true peace and safety. Safety now and into eternity. Safety and peace for the conscience, for the mind, for the soul. Or it could even have benefits for your body. Bring to you an inner harmony there that you have never before known. Safety today, safety tomorrow. Peace today, peace tomorrow. Christ, who is known now by us, will be known then when we see him. That same Jesus Christ. Then in great glory and triumph, yes. Then visibly seen, all the resplendence that will be his. My, the brightness of his coming, all the fierceness of his wrath against sinners, yes. But you can know him now and be at peace with him. And you're going to have him declare to you peace and safety. Peace he gave, not as the world gives, does he give to you. His peace he gives to you. Sudden destruction for the world, yes. But sudden peace for you. Sudden life for you, yes. in a moment, when we are born again, transferred safely from the kingdom and dominion of darkness into the kingdom of the Son of his love. Oh, and how rapidly and quickly things can change. And how soon we can be seeing then things we have never seen before. And the wonder of Christ, that we, as Paul speaks about here, who have fled from the wrath to come, and who have come to Christ for salvation, can be you. That can be you. And you'll find true peace and a refuge and a fortress. Scripture doesn't say these things in vain. It doesn't talk about deliverance and not mean it. Or place of refuge and say it'll fail you. Where he speaks peace and safety to the soul, he means it and he can do it. He who is faithful will also do it, we are told. He will. Those who have come to him say amen to that. He has. My soul was living in peril. I was fooled. I was looking to other things for peace and safety. I believed that unbelieving world out there and was led as a dupe. But now I see. I've seen him. I believed upon him. I saw that he brings true peace and safety where it counts and offers to me a refuge for my soul and takes hold of sinners in their sin. Rescues them, pays the price for their redemption, lays down his life for their salvation. Death is what they deserve. Then he who did not deserve death nevertheless will receive that at the hand of his Father. He will take those smitings and those beatings of the law, pay that penalty for our deliverance exactly, perfectly, and completely on the cross. Oh, he who is now ever living in the heavens above will clothe us with immortality. He who will take us in our weakness and clothe us with strength. He who will share with us his blessed home above, that kingdom of light, that kingdom of holiness. And through his work, paying the price for our sin, clothing us with righteousness, enable us to appear there. Peace and safety now, kept by the power of God now, in his Father's hand where none can snatch them from it now, and then home at last, away from this veil of tears and sadness, out of these bodies of sickness and death that disappoint us at every turn, gone into that kingdom where we meet him face to face, realize the half of it had not been told us. What unbelieving people we had been to so diminish him. And we will be ravished by the sight of him and in raptures over all that he is in the kingdom of safety and peace above. Come to him. Come receive of this forgiveness full and free. Safety from judgment. That the day of Christ surely coming, soon approaching, will not find you out, will not leave you, oh, so short of where you needed to be, leave you so deep in your iniquities, unforgiven, when the blood of Christ is near, can be found, can be applied to you through repentance and faith. Look at Calvary, see how that blood washes away sin, washes away guilt, destroys the power of sin. And it's within reach. Oh, call upon him while he is near. Seek him. He can be found. He is not far away. The word is near. It's in your mouth. It's in your heart. Confess Jesus is Lord. Believe God raised him from the dead. And when that day comes, God bids you peace and safety. On his judgment throne, he doesn't then produce a whole list of misdemeanors. Say, you are out. You thought you were traveling. You're out. You thought peace and safety. You are wrong. I actually will condemn you after all. No. Peace and safety, he says to you. Come into this kingdom prepared for you before the foundation of the world. Dwell in that peace. Dwell in that safety. No more death. No more sorrow. No more crying. You who are children of light, live forevermore in the light. Don't listen to the world. Don't listen to its folly. Don't listen to its lies. Don't listen to its false promises. Hear what there is from the Lord Jesus Christ, he who was not appointing his people to wrath, but to obtain salvation through him. You obtain it. You call upon him for it. You make it your desire, and that you will not leave until you know you have found it. And then, living with him, that breastplate of faith and love, and that helmet, the hope of salvation, securely yours, dwelling then at peace with him and in safety. What rest, what blessedness is offered. Oh, we don't speak of things that are impossibilities, not of things that are outside of anybody's experience, not fantasies and fictions, realities, realities. Would that you, all of you, would know it yourself and experience it if you haven't. And if you have, go rejoicing your way. Rejoice in hope. Look forward to this day of peace and safety forevermore, and dwell at peace with him now, and enjoy the true peace and safety that is his promise, his guarantee to all his children. Amen.